Greetings, I'm Bill Kladke. I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Lucienne Parsley, who is Litigation Director for Disability Rights Maryland. And Lucienne is here today to talk to us about the various things that Disability Rights Maryland is doing to assist folks with disabilities in Maryland to live better. So, Lucienne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure. It's been a while. In fact, I looked several years since I've had Disability Rights Maryland representative on this show, so I'm glad you could do it. First of all, for those who are listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about Disability Rights Maryland, please?
Sure. Disability Rights Maryland is a private nonprofit law firm. And it's also the state's federally mandated and state-designated protection and advocacy organization for people with disabilities. So we exist to ensure that people with disabilities are safe from abuse, neglect, rights violations, and we provide free legal services to Marylanders with any type of disabilities. We're funded by state, private, federal grants, Maryland Legal Services Corporation funding, and charitable contributions. And we exist because we believe people with disabilities should be part of the fabric of their communities and be able to control their own lives regardless of their disabilities.
Great. Thank you. How can someone find out more information?
Well, we have a website. It's World Wide Web Disability Rights MD for Maryland.org. And that's probably the easiest way to start learning about more about what Disability Rights Maryland does.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. What's your background and responsibilities? Are you from Maryland?
I went to Hopkins, but before that I was from Connecticut. After I graduated from Hopkins, I worked for an organization called the ARC. I worked in Howard County for a little bit, and then I worked at our state ARC for working with self-advocates and doing quality assurance for people with disabilities, and then I went to law school. So I've been a lawyer for 22 years. I graduated from University of Maryland in 2002 and became a housing lawyer, did that for a number of years, moved into the mental health side of disability rights and did that for a while before becoming legal director, and now I've been litigation director since 2002.
So you really have a lot of perspectives on the issues involved.
I do. I mean, my mother was someone with a disability. She had polio, and I heard growing up how she had not been allowed to go to school in the 1930s, and then I had a brother with disabilities. So kind of was in my family life and just a part of my life.
Yes, and as anybody who has looked at statistics knows, an awful lot of Marylanders have disabilities.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
What do you have any idea of what percentage that would be?
Well, I think it depends on what we're talking about. Disabilities that impact people's ability to work or live independently, or just any type of disability. I think that the numbers, as we get older, get higher and higher, and eventually all of us probably have some level of disability. But in terms of someone who has a developmental disability or another type of physical or mental disability that impacts their ability to live independently, I think those numbers are probably under 10% of Marylanders. But if you're looking at any type of disability, probably close to 40% of the state.
Oh, great, thank you. How is Disability Rights Maryland? You are a part of a national network.
We are. We were created by federal law in the 1970s after a series of national scandals related to the treatment of people with disabilities, primarily people with intellectual or developmental disabilities in institutions. And after that, Congress decided that a national network of nonprofit lawyers was needed to prevent and respond to abuse. and neglect. So over time, our issue areas, what we handle, has expanded because there's so many more people living in the community. There have been federal grants added that allow us to do work in the areas of assistive technology, voting, rep payee abuse, transportation, all kinds of things.
Great, and definitely needed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the one thing I can say is we get more calls for service than we can ever possibly take, unfortunately. So we create priorities with a public process where people can give input every year, and then we have advocacy services priorities, which dictates the work that we're going to work on for the year.
Oh, and have you done this for 2025 yet?
We did. Our board just approved, I believe in December, our advocacy services plan for FY25, but we will start probably in the spring with a series of listening sessions and surveys. There'll be Facebook sessions and in-person sessions so the public can give input on what they think are the most important issues facing people with disabilities.
Huh. What are they for 2024? I'm sure accessibility is there.
Yeah, so I think special education and transition to adult services, housing, the access to accessible, safe housing, access to appropriate services and disability support services, voting rights, transportation and access to MTA mobility, assistive technology, and we have a lawsuit called Goodlaxon versus the Mayor and City Council of Baltimore, which deals with accessibility of sidewalks.
Uh-huh.
And curb cuts and right-of-ways. That case has come close to settling. I think we're waiting for the court to have a fairness hearing and sign off on the partial consent decree, but that will require the mayor and city council to make changes over 4 years, I think something like $44 to $55 million worth of modifications to curb cuts and sidewalks so that people are able to get around the city and do what they need to do in their daily lives.
Yeah, it's Baltimore as an old city really is a problem in that way.
Yeah, it's really been a problem because for us, we were particularly interested in this issue because we have had three lawsuits against MTA Mobility, our paratransit program for people who can't use the fixed route system
right, due
to their disabilities. And there's such pressure on that system, primarily because people cannot get around and use the bus system because the sidewalks have barriers or obstacles in the middle of them. It's not safe because they're broken. The sidewalks are broken. There's no curb cut. So if the city does what it is supposed to do to start making these sidewalks and private and pedestrian rights of way accessible, we're hoping that'll allow people to get out into their communities and do what they need to do and not always have to rely on the MTA mobility system, which has been so problematic.
Yeah, and it doesn't help if you get transportation somewhere, you still have to be able to go through the, you still have to be able to get up on and get off of the curb.
Oh yes, 100%, right.
Yeah, so it's similar to the situation that I know has come about quite a bit, which is that an apartment building's parking lot is made accessible, but the path from the parking lot to the apartment building is not. That doesn't make any sense. But so how is Maryland compared to other states regarding disability rights?
I think Maryland is a pretty progressive state, and we have robust services that are available for people with disabilities. However, we struggle in the adequacy of those services. And at times, I think there have been problems with the services that have been provided. They don't meet people's needs always. So we're constantly informing the state, working with policymakers to try to bring to their attention when there are problems mm-hmm. with services.
Mm-hmm. Annapolis is coming up. What needs to be done, both in Annapolis and on the local level?
Oh, so many things. There are so many things that are needed. And I think first, it's not clear, you know, what the impact will be for people with disabilities under the incoming presidential administration. There may be changes to Medicaid, disability benefits, special ed services, education generally. And we are trying to plan and understand what could be done to ameliorate the impacts of federal changes on people with disabilities. So protections that could be put in place to protect against something happening on the federal level. So we're really just starting there. However, there's a huge projected budget deficit in Maryland, so that it's really going to be very difficult to get new legislation passed this year if there's any fiscal note to it. So we're going to be working hard to maintain the level of services we already have, to encourage the state to use the funding it does get from the federal government wisely and with creating services. I can talk a little bit about some bills that we've heard that are going to be coming in or we're working on ourselves. So the first is a self-directed services bill for mental health services. So unlike in the developmental disabilities realm, mental health services have typically been very traditional.
Uh-huh.
There are certain types of mental health services you can get, but if you want to have your services provided in a way that better meets your needs, that's often very difficult. So Senator Lamb in the Senate and Delegate Hutchinson on the Eastern Shore are working with us on a bill to create self-directed services for mental health. A bill that we're looking at would put restrictions on the use of restricted housing or solitary confinement for persons with serious mental illness in state prisons, especially for incarcerated people with serious mental illness, because being in segregation or being in solitary confinement makes their mental illness so much worse.
Yes, indeed. Indeed, indeed. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time. How can our listeners help?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How can our listeners help?
Oh, there's so many ways. So we are always looking for people to serve on our PAMI council. We have an advisory council that advises us. And just keeping informed, look at our website to see what legislative updates there are. Get involved in other organizations that look at these changes on you and your family. Certainly think about going to your legislators and sharing with them how changes to disability services and programs will affect them in their lives. And we have other volunteer opportunities for other people as well. We have a program of volunteers that work on issues around paratransit and accessible transportation, public transportation. We have another group that called the Sunshine Folk that go into nursing facilities to talk to people about moving their Medicaid funding to the community with services so they don't have to live in nursing homes.
So, folks, that's another worthwhile, very, very worthwhile program. Folks can find out more information on the website?
Yes,
or
absolutely.
Call?
And it's disabilityrightsmd.org.
Uh-huh. And the phone number?
Our number is 410-727-6352 or toll-free 1-800-233-7201.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, though, Lucianne, we're out of time.
That's okay.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Our guest today has been Lucien Parsley, who is litigation director for Disability Rights Maryland. Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.